Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
That got me fired up, Brian.
I know. We'll get to why here in a second, but I'm just excited to convert, even just for one day, midday to the midday happy hour. We got the weekend happy hour, the late night happy hour, and now it's the midday happy hour for 3.5 hours. So that's very exciting. Now, why are you all fired up?
Are you going to be drinking twice today? Is that what this is an excuse to do? Is that
sure? Twice.
Twice.
Of course, just twice. Yeah. Yes.
No, I will be limiting. Chris Morales is like my hype man, Brian. That's why I get hyped. Mm-hmm. Every time he hypes me up before the show, like, I run out of the gates. And by run, I mean I'm still sitting on the couch in my bedroom broadcasting live. But I run out of the gates, like, fired up. Like, I am pumped to do the show when he, like, hypes me up.
No, he's good. He's very good. Yeah. But that's not the only reason, Ramona. That's not it. Like, I spoke to you earlier today, and you were burdened. You were tired. You seemed just like you were running on empty.
Yeah.
You hopped on the little machine that we used to do this show like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
A new woman. What happened?
I just had the most amazing nap. It was like 40 minutes. Like, you know, you get really good at taking naps when you're a mom because you, like, as soon as the baby goes to bed, you just like, okay, mm-hmm. go take a nap. And it was like, I had like 45 minutes and I woke up like, whoa, new person. I have all this energy now. I don't even have to drink a coffee. I'm just having some ice water. And we're ready to roll. I'm fired up. Didn't I send you a text 5 minutes ago saying, Alex Cora story, exclamation
yes.
point.
Like something happened while you were sleeping. Let's talk about this. Let's do this. Like, I have already made a tactical error. Like, it's gotten a lot warmer in LA over the last few days.
Uh-huh.
And we recently moved into a new place, and it has a second story. Like, it's like a little two-story thing.
It's warm up there.
It is broiling upstairs. And I was like, I'll go into the boys' room and I'll just do it from there. I'll be out of the way.
Yeah.
It is way too hot in this room. So at some point I'm going to have to move, or otherwise I'm going to be sleeping by 5. It's that kind of hot in here. Like, where just you slowly, you're like a lion.
Open a window, but it doesn't really touch it. Yeah, I get it.
Well, it's not that. I can't open a window because then it's too loud. And so I already feel like a lion in those like National Geographic stories where they keep like going back to it. And like, it's sitting under the tree in the savannah. And like every time you cut to it, it gets a little bit sleepier. And by like 45 minutes into the show, it's asleep. That's going to be me if I don't move out of this room.
Yeah. So, well, do you have fans? Is that a thing?
Right. But again, Ramona, we have AC. The AC doesn't work as well upstairs as it does downstairs. But also, I can't turn on a fan because it's too loud.
It's too loud. Yeah. You're going to have to make a fan. You're going to have to take some paper and fold it up, or like a book, and just start fanning yourself during the show.
I'll figure something out. I might end up in the van with the car on, with the AC. Just drive. I might do the show driving around. I might drive around and do the show.
But I have definitely done the show in my car. Yeah, done that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do a lot of things.
Driving doesn't work. You're going to drop
like the
out.
Mobile office.
Yeah.
It's the mobile office. No, yep. I have Wi-Fi in the car.
Oh.
The car is outfitted with one of those Wi-Fi attachments to keep the kids happy on road trips. You'll get there. Like, you don't need that yet, but eventually you get to the point where you got to get to the little attachment, you stick it into the car, and then it becomes a mobile hotspot. And so that way the kids can play on their devices when you have drives and you don't deal with them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not
there
yet, but you will be.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. A couple of years.
All right. We should start with the big news, right?
Sure.
Woj.
Yeah.
The story broke, about an hour ago, where Woj says there's a faction of NBA players, 40 to 50 players have been on conference calls over the last day or so, that have concerns about the restart and the Orlando bubble. I don't like the word concerns. How serious is – I don't want any – there should be no concerns at this point. How concerned should I be that basketball is not going to happen on time and with all the players that I want to see?
Yeah, let me use his exact phrasing, okay? ESPN story on growing uncertainty among NBA players about entering Orlando bubble and allowances league plans to make for those deciding to stay home. Ooh, right? Growing concerns. Okay, let's start with two things. This is a world in which both things can be true. Can we accept that? Like, I know when John Ireland is here that type of logic and thinking does not exist, right? It's either Ramona thinks Santa Claus and puppy dogs are awful. I think they're great. Discuss, right? This is a world in which I'm going to tell you two contradictory things, but they're both going to be true. Okay. You ready for this?
All right.
There are growing concerns among NBA players about what life in the bubble is going to be like. There are definitely growing concerns. The idea of spending 3 months potentially away from your friends and family, the idea that you're not just going to be hanging out at Disney World, like you go play a game, you go back to the hotel, maybe you can play some golf or eat outside at a restaurant, but you're not supposed to be socializing or playing cards in somebody else's room. You're not even supposed to be playing, you know, your PlayStation with like six other people.
You can't socialize with players on your own team in another room.
You can, but you're still supposed to socially distance as much as possible. You're supposed to wear masks if you're going to do that. Like, this is pretty intense. This isn't just like, I mean, I think that they're going to be fine going to, you know, play cards or PS2 or whatever, PlayStation, whatever you play. I think they're going to be fine doing that. However, if you're really trying to stick to the greatest health standards possible, they don't want players interacting as much off the court. They don't want Laker players hanging out with, I don't know, Nets players or Bucks players. They don't really, because if, let's say, one player tests positive, they want to be able to sort of contact trace and isolate amongst Lakers, right? They don't want, you were hanging out with players on four different teams, so now we have four different teams that we have to worry about. Like, so this, and it's not just that, like what life inside the bubble is like. It's the idea of really not seeing your family and friends, not being able to bring an extended group of people in or anyone at all for that.
Because the rules would be, if I'm understanding, the rules would be that you can't have any family until after the first round of the playoffs. So it's eight regular season games, which is about 16 days, give or take, plus the first round of the playoffs, which is another.
Yeah.
Plus, they get there a week and a half.
Yeah. Plus, they get there for when they arrive in the bubble, life in the bubble. There's another little time where the training camp is kind of extended while you're in the bubble. There's a little quarantine where I think you have to spend 2 days in your room, literally 2 days in your room before they even let you out. Okay. And that's the reason for that is that if you contract the virus, let's say in transit, okay, and you arrive in Orlando and the day that you arrive is the day that you contract the virus, which, not saying it will happen, but just think.
It's enough of a possibility that you have to take it into consideration.
Yeah, especially in transit, okay? You have to be in your room. You probably won't test positive on the first day of an infection. You probably test positive after 2 days, right? Your viral load has to climb high enough. So that's why when you first arrive in Orlando, the idea is you go to your room for 2 days. Like, you don't come out. So I think when the theory of what the life in the bubble was going to be like was a little more general in players' minds until we start getting down to it and you find out what it's really going to look like and the restrictions that are going to be put on place and or at least the advisements. It's not going to be like jail. It's not going to be like, you know, people wearing monitors or you know, I'm sure there will be some intermingling of players when they're on site, but you know, it's a long time away from friends and family. And I don't want to be somebody who gets into this side of this. Okay. Because I don't think it's necessarily fair to be pointing fingers at anybody, but I also think it's important to point out that there are some biological imperatives that, grown adult men.
So what you're saying, Ramona, is
are going to be feeling after a while.
The focus is in this case more on the friends than the family.
I'm saying family too. There's plenty of guys who love their wives and will greatly miss seeing them for a while. Okay.
And that cousin nobody knew they had for that's their first pandemic visitor.
Like Brian, I mean, I'm not, you know, look, that's a long time. That 3 months. Okay. It will probably be more like 6 weeks. If you talk about from when you leave home to when mm-hmm. the first visitors would be allowed in, but that's a long period of time. Okay. Yeah. To go without, it's a long dry spell. Okay.
None of these people must be married, but that's okay.
Oh, I think a lot of people, I think you're not hearing me.
No,
married
Ramona,
or unmarried. It's fine.
No, I made a marriage sex joke.
Oh,
I think
like
that's
in
all
other
that
words,
was.
People who are married don't. Okay. I get it.
Right. That's what people say is like, once you get married, you have sex less. Like that's, but anyway,
I think you just have three kids.
Well, right.
that's part of
which
it.
Which I guess sort of disproves that. I mean,
theoretically. Yeah.
I mean, they're all mine, Ramona.
Right. Yeah, true.
It wasn't space there were no apart, immaculate though. Conceptions and yeah. when we
spaced
did
apart.
The work.
Yep,
right.
You did. Yep. So I think that this is, we have some 11th hour stuff going on about, whoa, that's what this is really going to be like. But I still think everything's going to be fine. I think the deal is agreed upon by the players in the league. Now everything's set up in Disney World. We're going to get some the official health and safety standards sent around to the teams pretty soon. I any day now, you know, you'll get that. Then that all the, you know, the various details will come out. But I think both things are true. There are some last minute 11th hour concerns, and we're still going to have a bubble, and we're still going to have an NBA season. Now, if there is a existential threat to the NBA resuming, or their plans, at least, I would say it is not the growing concerns among players about what life in the bubble is really going to be like. It is real life of every day this week cases in Orange County, Florida, where Orlando is located, have risen. There seems to be a little spike that's going on in Florida in general as it's reopened, as warm weather, et cetera, you know, as you know, the last week or so, you know, just we haven't seen teams testing players and staff yet. Like, there's going to be some hiccups here. There's going to be some teams that have, you know, large number of positive cases that are not going to be able to, like, be on the same time frame and schedule as everybody else. There's just going to be some of that. So if there's an existential issue with them coming back, I think it is far more related to the actual health and safety concerns and not right. about just mental health and physical well-being concerns of what life in the bubble will really be like.
Yeah, because it's going to suck. Like, this is when yeah. people talk about, like, the asterisk on this thing, it's like, yeah. If you want to put an asterisk on it, it's because this is going to be the hardest title to go out and win. Like, this, there's nothing
Absolutely.
About this is going to be easy. And so, like, that part of it, like, I realize it's Disney. Even if you had full run of Disney World.
Yeah.
Just stay there for 6 weeks, especially if, like, you're not going to the park. And
It'd
stuff
be like 6 weeks of grad night. Did you have grad night at Disney World? We had grad night at Disneyland. It was amazing.
No, we didn't. Oh. But, like, you know, but you understand, like, you know, even if yeah. you could go to each resort and you could try out a different pool yeah. the next day, and you could, you know, go to the water park and then
go on the
ride golf.
Yeah.
Like, right. Do whatever. It's like, it's you when you can't leave that place. If you make the finals or the conference finals for like 2.5, 3 months or whatever, you will start to go insane. I mean, it's a wonderful place. Everybody should visit there once it's safe. In case anybody is listening from corporate, like, you know, I love Disney World. This is not a slam yeah. against Disney World. Go to Epcot while you're there. Get some culture.
Mean,
but when you can't leave the grounds, you feel trapped. Even
yeah.
though the grounds are big, even though there's a lot to do, you still feel trapped. And so I don't blame them for being a little nervous, especially if you're on one of the good teams.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we talk about 11th hour concerns, yeah, all of these concerns are coming to light. You've heard some players, you know, even publicly talk about them because they're kind of learning the details of it now. But I still do think this is going to happen. I think we got enough of a consensus. And I think what'll be very interesting, Brian, is how things change over the next week or so. Once we get the health and safety guidelines that come out, right? We had a pretty big big reaction against the idea that older coaches might not be able to go, that they're going to have some screening process for not just older coaches, but everyone with everybody, you know, on the team who is determined to be, is whether it's safe for them to go to the bubble, whether it's safe for them to have these risks in their life, right? There's a pretty big reaction to that. We're going to have probably four or five more of those, you know, issues that'll come up as we get specifics on what life in the bubble is really going to be like.
All right. So there's another part of this, too, that I think is relevant to those guidelines coming out as we kind of keep learning more about transmission of coronavirus, what it means to get it, what the lasting effects are. I saw a horrifying story today about somebody who needed like a double lung transplant after that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we're learning. So answer this question next. What happens if a player just won't go? Chooses not to play. That's the question I want to ask you next. Mason Ireland Show, Kamenetsky and Shelburne in for the guys, ESPN, 710 ESPN. Mason Ireland Show, Brian Kamenetsky with Ramona Shelburne in for the guys. Mason on vacation, and Ireland is at his son's graduation. So congratulations to Jack for moving on up in the world. So that's really cool. Lindsay, can we talk about what we were just talking about? I want to like put your business out there.
Go for it.
All right. So Lindsay is doing her Wolf of Wall Street thing where she's just trading, buying, selling, all this stuff's like buy, sell. And you're disappointed because you bought yesterday and the market was down today.
Yeah, I bought an extra share of Amazon, and then I bought like, I saw United was down, so I bought like 10 shares in United. And anyway, I invested a little, and then the market went down, and now I'm in the negative for the day, so I'm kind of bummed.
Dang. Well, you know, the good news is usually when the market goes down, it goes back up again. So you should actually buy. The counterintuitive thing is actually the right thing is you should buy again. Because
I know, that's what I did.
You know, yeah.
Nice. Press it. Press it, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
So what'd you buy today?
Some more Penn National Gaming, because, you know, sports are going to be coming back. Everyone's going to run into sports books. I bought some on the advice of good old Clay Travis back when the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And it was like $7 a share. So
nice. Okay. Where is I like it now? That.
I think it's at like 38 right now.
Damn. And where did you buy it?
I was at 7.
You bought it at 7. It's at 38.
I think it might be around like 30 today. Mm. But it's gone up quite a bit. So yeah.
I think this should be a segment. Lindsay's stock tips.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We used to do this. We used to do that. We had a sponsor. Do you remember that, Brian? It was like freaking market report. And I used to have to read it. And it was like three stocks. It was like literally, it wasn't like, it would be like, the Dow's up 47 points today.
It's a City National stock report.
Yeah. There it is.
Right.
Yeah. Have it.
I would love to do that.
Is the sound still in the system? We should play it. But like it was awful. Like we'd be sitting and like Andy would have to read it and be like, and he doesn't know what any of these things mean or what they are. Be like, the Dow was up 27 points, and that was it. Like that was the entire report. I don't know what those people were paying for, but it wasn't that. And so I guess they stopped. But if it makes you feel better, Lindsay, I was a little concerned at the beginning of the pandemic when there were no sports and it looked like we may never see sports again.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that my jobs in the sports world might not be so safe. So yep. I was trying to set aside a little bit of cash just in case, had be a little more liquid, as they say. And I sold a couple things right before the market bounced almost all the way back. So your one day of it going down is not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't panic. Mm-hmm. Don't start selling stuff out. You know, stick with it. You'll be okay.
Okay, I will. It's extra money anyway, so I'll be good.
This is your pocket money, as they say, as my grandpa would have said. So, Ramona, there's all kinds of news that comes out. Like if you follow what COVID is, like there's a woman today. I read this horrifying story where a woman needed like a double lung transplant and all just horrible stuff. We focus so much on like hospitalizations and death and this and that, whatever. And it seems to be that there's at least some chance that if you contract coronavirus, it could have some lasting impacts on your lungs or your body or whatever that are particularly important if you're a professional athlete. The rest of us, probably okay. Professional athletes, it might make a difference in terms of them being able to do their jobs in a way that lets them stay in their leagues.
Right.
So when we talk about these athletes and some of their nervousness about going to the Orlando bubble and being out for that, how many guys do you think actually, when push comes to shove, just might not go?
I think that there are there's about 350 players on the 22 teams. I think that's the number I've heard. 350 players. I would say it is around a dozen. That's just absolutely a guess, okay? But even if it's a dozen, that's significant. And I think there may be, I have heard anecdotally of a couple of guys who have wives who were pregnant during the period who want to know what they do, you know, if they want to leave to go be there for the birth of their child. Like, I've heard a few of those type of things. I've heard a few pre-existing condition issues, like asthma. And I've heard a few guys who just simply don't feel comfortable. There have been, you know, discussions that have been collectively bargained with the league and the Players Association on that. It's kind of the same thing. Like, you know, what do you do if your office reopens and you're like, nope, I don't feel like going in. I have been really good at working from home. I feel like I'm just as productive and I don't want to take the risk of being in an office setting. What do you do? It's a question employers all around the country are facing right now.
So, well, I think what makes athletes, I mean, it's not just basketball, but I mean, I think baseball, you know, they're going through these same considerations in baseball. You know, the athletes have to think about, you know, in basketball, they're thinking about the question of what this does to my lungs and am I going to be able to run the same if I catch it and all this other stuff. It's obviously we've learned a virus that has disproportionately impacted the Black community. Above all, that I'm sure plays into the considerations that some of these players have. I also think like the money aspect of it is interesting too, because obviously if you don't go, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
But you're only going to get 8 game checks, and that's a lot of money. But depending on how much you already make, how careful you are with your money, 8 game checks and maybe a couple playoff checks may not be the kind of thing where you feel like the risk reward is high enough to get you into the bubble. I mean, it sounds crazy for people like us or people driving around right now or listening if they're back at work or whatever it is to say, you know, it could be a couple million dollars or 750,000, whatever it might be. But if you already have 10 million in the bank and you don't need it or whatever, and you're worried that it could impact future earnings, I can see why guys would say it's not worth it.
Sure. I can too. And I think the way it's going to work is if you have a pre-existing condition and you don't, and it's deemed not safe for you to go. So you have asthma, you have a sickle cell thing, you have a heart condition, something like you're immunocompromised, you know, whatever it is. Then they just say, it's okay. You still get paid. We're not going to punish you for having a pre-existing conditioning. You don't have to go. If you just simply don't feel comfortable going, then I think the way it goes is you won't get paid, but there's not going to be any punitive, you know, damage done to you, right? No one's going to say, we're voiding your contract. We're not going to pay you for next year also. No one's going to make a threat. They're just going to say, okay, well, we won't pay those 8 game checks in the playoff share or whatever it is. But you're not going to be, you know, pressured into playing if you're really not comfortable. I think that's where they've landed on this. And that seems fair. The other issue that they have talked about is, what if somebody has a pre-existing condition like asthma or a heart issue or whatever it is, and they say, and they probably shouldn't go, like a doctor says, well, this is a risk factor. It's not as safe for you to go. And they say, that's fine. I'm willing to accept that risk. So that comes into play when we talk about some of the older coaches. What if they have some health issues where the doctor says it's not safe for you to do this? And they said that, I'm coaching my team. I think the way this is going to land is there's going to be an independent board of researchers or of doctors who will evaluate that and say, okay, yes or no. It's a little like what happened with Chris Bosh. He had two instances of blood clots. He wanted to play. The Heat said, sorry, we can't get insurance. It's not safe. You know, we couldn't put you out there and risk you dying on the
right.
floor.
Right. And even just, if, even if you sign a waiver, we're still not doing it. Like, we can't have you die on our floor.
Yeah. It's just not something we're willing to do. Then that's when you had like the independent medical board. And that's how they work that out. So I think, you know, I think that's good. I think it's a, I think that's a good system. It's something that, you know, there's going to be people who are not going to like it, especially if they're not allowed to go and they want to go. They're not allowed to play or coach or whatever it's going to be. It could be a, we're not just talking about head coaches. There can be assistant coaches that fall into this too. And it's not just the old guys. It could be younger coaches too.
It's not even just but like go to players. Yeah. I mean, I'm using him as an example. I'm not using him. Yeah. I have no knowledge of his comfort level or anything around this. But a Laker tested positive, we know, for coronavirus earlier. We don't know who that player is for confidentiality rules and all that. And that's good. We just know who it wasn't. One of those people that it wasn't was JaVale McGee. It was not JaVale McGee. But JaVale McGee has asthma. He spent time in the hospital last season. It kind of derailed what would have been a career year. He spent time in the hospital last year because of pneumonia. So, you know, his lungs, as we've already seen in his time as a Laker, are susceptible. He's a perfect example of somebody who would have to be very careful. So you talk about 12 players, 15 players, 10 players, whatever it might be. And you made the point. It's like it could be a big deal, especially depends on which players you're talking about. You move three players off the Wizards, it probably doesn't matter. You take a player off the Bucks, a player off the Lakers. All of a sudden, that can have a real impact on what happens in the entire playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's there's going to be a lot of this stuff coming up. And just think about some of the visuals that we're going to see. I mean, you know, when I talked to Alvin Gentry about the whole mask issue and coaches and what they're going to be allowed to do and whether he can go or not go, you know, I said, you know, what if they make you wear a mask? He said, I'm not wearing a mask unless everybody else is wearing a mask. That's not fair to single me out because I'm old. And Rick Carlisle from the Dallas Mavericks said they should all be wearing masks. So just think about this, what this visual is going to look like. We're going to have an NBA game, and in the middle of the huddle, the coaches all are going to be wearing masks. And it may not even be really a huddle. Maybe
well, you know who's looking forward to that? There's one group of people who's looking forward to that.
Who's that?
Football coaches.
Ah, okay.
Because all they do is sit there and they spend their entire day with like the little play chart covering their mouth when they call in the plays and stuff. So if they're wearing a mask, they don't have to do that anymore.
Mm.
You can't lip read them from the sidelines.
Did not know that. Interesting. Well, yeah,
you've never watched a football game before?
Yeah, but you can always get what they're, you know, you can always get what they're doing because you look at the chart, right? Like they have the plays on the cards. And don't people like sequence those? That's like it's like they reverse.
Right, but you understand like when you see Sean McVay send the play into Jared Goff, he always takes his little chart and covers
mouth. Yeah. Covers his
mouth. So you can't see it. So you can't see what he's doing.
Yeah.
So those guys actually I think are looking forward to mask wearing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good.
The moment was destroyed the minute I had to explain it.
Yeah, sorry.
I was really hoping that would just be a straight shot, like, oh, football coaches, right? They always hide their mouths, and then we move on.
I thought you were talking about the plays where they hold up. You know how they, you know, they have like the quarterbacks. They have like the I don't know, three or four different like flashcards that they hold up.
No, I understand. Lindsay, did I do the joke badly, or was Ramona not listening?
I maybe didn't get it right. I was probably assuming.
I knew what you. I pictured it in my mind with them holding the cards.
I think you said the cards, and my mind just went to the other cards, and I didn't.
All right, that's
probably
fair.
Sit and hear you right, right?
Like, well, who's at fault here?
Yeah, probably me.
I think Momo. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
I was going to say, now always blame Ramona.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine.
she can handle it. She can afford it. She's got a yard. I've seen it. Ramona, I've done a lot of that during the pandemic. A lot of low key flexes of places around her house, like low key landscaping photos.
I love that you think it's a flex. Like, this is just where I live. Like, I'm not like, ooh, check out my yard. I'm like, no,
well, I'm just
where
you have
I
a
live.
Yard. It's beautiful. It's a yard. Beautiful yard. It's a beautiful yard.
I live
yard.
In the valley. This is the thing. You too can have a yard, Brian, if you want to go move to the valley. Things are cheaper here. Like, you too. Like,
yards aplenty are in the valley.
Yards aplenty. Remember,
you get a yard. And you get a yard.
You just have to live in the 818. Like, that's the deal. You got to live out there.
What's the temperature there today?
97. That's why I needed a nap.
I will not be in my yard. Walk,
and I came back inside and I said, I need some water. I'm gonna lay down and take a nap.
There's one more group that's going to have a love-hate relationship with the Orlando bubble. And I will tell you who that group is next. Mason Island Show, Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys, 710 ESPN. All right. So as she tends to do during the break, Ramona started talking about sex again. It's like, enough with the sex, Ramona.
Sorry.
But you made the point. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys, Mason Island Show, 710 ESPN. You've made the point that, you know, one of the things that is going to be a problem as players, particularly players on good teams, understand what it's going to be to spend that much time in the Orlando, is the sex question. Like, yeah. You're away. Like, you can't have people in and out of your room, family, friends, things like that, until at least the end of the first round of the playoffs. And so
theoretically,
it reminded me, I saw an article this weekend that was from like sex therapists. This is in the New York Post, about how you're supposed to practice safe sex during the pandemic. And it's not like safe sex, like where you wear a condom type safe sex. It's like you should wear a face mask and try to avoid kissing. And this was the part that I didn't understand. Be creative with sexual positions and physical barriers like walls that allow sexual contact while preventing close face-to-face contact.
What?
Maybe I haven't led an adventurous enough life and you guys like know exactly how that would work and I don't, and I've like just been too sheltered and all that kind of stuff. Can anybody explain to me how that would work?
Okay, read it one more time. I think I got it. Go ahead.
All right. The sex therapist recommended making things a little kinky. Creative with sexual positions and physical barriers like walls that allow sexual contact while preventing close face-to-face contact.
Okay. I think we're talking about how am I going to say this without just
Funches has both hands over the dump button.
Oh boy. Here we go. All right. So well, there's, you know, I mean, you could just theoretically cut a hole in a wall. I mean,
there is a name for that. That is a thing that exists and it has a name.
Okay.
I will let people Google it.
I think there's also an idea of party law.
But wait, let me, before you go on to the next
let's think of your waist as a hinge. Okay. Okay, and so maybe one part of you is on one side of the wall, and you know, waist is the hinge.
Right.
Good word. Okay, and the other side is the operative side is on the other side. And you're not
all right,
facing
I think
each other.
That we are entering dangerous territory of the FCC shutting down our show.
I also think that the idea of face masks, what we're talking about, this is intense. Like, what's like, well, I mean, this look, is like an anonymous game? Is this like some kind of a,
for
this,
some people,
I mean, there's a kinky
for some people,
quality
they
to
just
that
call
too,
that,
right?
For some people, they just call that a Tuesday, but I'm just, you know, there's a lid for every pot, but I'm just, it's the,
be so like, careful with analogies in this conversation. Yeah.
But like your point about the hole in the wall, like you can't do that to your hotel room. That's a no go right there.
And I think, honestly, Brian, like, this is just like the world we are all living in right now, where things that you have to think about every little action that you do. I remember early on in this pandemic, we were socially distancing from my parents. We did a 3-week period of time where we just said, okay, you guys are older. We've been around people. You've been around people. Let's take 3 weeks and let's not be around anybody. And then we could, if we're all good by then, we can come back together. But you know, for now, let's not see each other, right? And so they would come over for walks, and we would all stay 6 feet apart. And we were, like, super vigilant about the 6 feet. Like, if my dad started walking a little too close, my mom would be like, back up. And if we were, Daniel always likes him to, like, pick a lemon from some neighbor's tree, and then he takes the lemon and just promptly throws it out the stroller, and then we have to go. The game is he throws the lemon, we go pick it up, right? That's the game. And if he would throw the lemon, my dad might pick it up. If he touched it, my mom would say, wash your hands, you touched the lemon, right? Like, because Daniel touched the lemon, Ramona's touched the lemon. So we were like hyper vigilant about every single thing that all of us were touching at all times. And I think there's that level of concern where, I don't know, are you guys still being that vigilant? We are in some ways. We still wipe down the takeout food. We still wipe down the groceries and the packages.
I gotta be honest, we never did that. Never did it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's because, and it's mostly because the guidance that I was reading,
yeah,
tended to, after the very beginning of it, tended, yeah, to be like, that just isn't, just keep, wash your hands, yeah, wash your hands, wash a lot. Like, it just got to be, that got to be too much. And especially with kids, it's like, they're going to touch stuff. They're going to be, it's hard enough to get them to remember to wash their, like, I have the two boys, the girl still in diapers, but like I got one who flushes but doesn't lift the seat.
Okay.
And another that does lift the seat, but never flushes.
Oh, that's
like,
aggressive.
I can't get them to do that right. I cannot have them, you know, responsible for wiping everything down or don't touch that or whatever. It's like, we can mitigate risk only to a certain point, but we're also very fortunate. Like, nobody in our house is, has any kind of immunocompetence considerations. Yeah. And so we're like, I don't want to say play fast and loose. We've been very careful, but like, we don't have to be quite that vigilant.
Yeah. So I think this is what a lot of people are feeling right now, is like, a lot of these guidelines are, they are a bit overkill, right? They're the level of like, don't touch the lemon, wash your hands, wash the lemon up. Oh, right. Like, that's what we were all doing the first couple weeks of quarantine. Everybody was like hyper vigilant and, you know, well, that's when they started coming up with these recommendations. And it's also every single recommendation in that book that's going to come out in the next day or two, it could be even today, is going to be scrutinized by the public at large. And it's because it's the NBA, because of basketball being a contact sport, basketball was the sport that shut down, that started the whole wave of everything else shutting down. They have a higher level of scrutiny of all the health and safety conditions that they're putting on, where I know that, you know, it is a little safer to wipe the lemon off every time, right? Like, it's a little safer to wipe your packages down. And
at this point, I cannot stop thinking about wiping the lemon or anything as a euphemism. It's not a euphemism. You're literally talking about cleaning a lemon, but it sounds, after the first half of this segment, like a euphemism.
Well, Brian, see what I did, like radio pro that I am.
You know what I mean? It's like, look, we all have to wipe down the lemon, Ramona, at one point or another in our lives. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. So what I did was get away from a dicey subject earlier, and now you're just bringing it back.
I was going right back to it for the end of the segment.
Excellent. So I think the
NBA, I'm here like once a month. It's fine.
Yeah, and just trying to get me in trouble. Okay. I think that's what's happening. Like, the NBA is just going to the exact letter of the CDC guidelines, and it's going to be pretty intense. And I think players are going to feel that, and coaches are going to feel that. And because they have to spell it out and say that, like, I've heard, Brian, you know, there's going to be a little bit of media there, not a lot, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a tier one and a tier two. Tier one means you're really in the bubble with them. And tier two means you can stay at the Orlando Marriott and still attend the games, but you can't get close to anybody, right?
You can accrue points, but that's about it.
Yeah, you can get, well, I'd rather be tier two, to be honest. That sounds more fun. Tier one doesn't really sound that great. Like, tier one is like, yeah, you're in a bubble. You can't come and go.
Hold on to this for a second, because I actually think this is a bigger and more fun deal than most people are giving it credit for. And also, the NBA is now going to have to include in that book an illustrated version of Ramona Shelburne in this whole Hinge thing. Brian Kamenetsky. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys. John is celebrating. Great day today. John's celebrating his son Jack's graduation. So that's really cool. A great way, a great reason to miss a day of work. And Steve's just, you know, tired.
Well,
so Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne. I mean, he's just taking a week off. He's mentally drained.
Like, hanging out.
Did he go anywhere?
Palm Springs.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
With the fans.
Yeah, I think so. He's out there with his mom and Juan and
not stepdad Leo.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're out hanging out. I mean, I get that. Look, it's been like several months of quarantine and he hasn't missed a day. That's got to be a record for Mace.
Right. I think he had one mental health day. But yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah. And also, too, it's like his mom is close. It's safe enough now. You can go visit people. Like, you know, I mean, like mm-hmm. my mom is having a rough go. Like she fell and like slipped and fell into the bathroom and essentially broke her arm right up underneath her shoulder.
Oh,
and then
that sucks.
It really does. And then in the process of kind of trying to get around and not be a burden on anybody, she lost her balance because she can't use her arm anymore. She lost her balance, fell down and broke her kneecap. Ugh. So now she's down an arm and a leg. I can't go visit them. So, you know, I'm just not allowed. I mean, beyond the logistics of like, we're at home and I'd be like, we're not supposed to do that. So like, it's really just my dad is the only person that can help her.
Right.
If you have the ability to go see friends and family and stuff like that now, and it's safe and everybody can be well, then you should do it because, you know, we've learned a lot in the last few months. Like time is precious and moments are fleeting. And those are the people, not to bring the show completely down, those are the people I feel really terrible for, are people who have had family members pass, not of coronavirus, just like, you know, stuff happens and like you can't have a memorial or you can't go to the funeral. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
You know, don't wait to call people or talk to people or whatever that you love. Do it today. There is a one more group, Ramona. We're talking about the pandemic bubble tournament in Orlando. And you alluded to it, that is going to be there. And competition to get in is going to be fierce. It's the reporter bubble. So you mentioned it. It's a tier one, tier two kind of thing. And inside the bubble, and these are the people who are going to get in, and you have to stay the whole time. You cannot leave. You're just like the players in that regard. And you'll be able to do whatever limited media availability there is and all that kind of stuff. And then there's the tier two where you can go to Orlando and you can go see games, but you can't get near anyone. Two questions for you, Ramona. First one, do you want to be in either tier one or tier two?
In a world in which I don't have a family and kids, I would want to be there. Yes. But I, as mom, don't think that I could leave for the length of time that you would need to. I don't think
since
we don't
like
have any help. Yeah.
That you're connected to are supposed to be there a while.
Yeah. A long time. Like, and also I'm around my parents who are in their 70s, like early 70s. But like, I just, you know, I don't think I would feel good about flying from LA to Orlando. I don't want to fly anywhere. I don't want to get on an airplane. I don't like the idea of it. But I definitely wouldn't want to come home. And I think I would probably quarantine at a hotel for a week before I saw anybody. You'd have to. My answer to that is no. I mean, look, if my job depended on it, like I had to go, I would figure out some kind of way to do it. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of people there. And I think that there are some people who are in a better position. You know why I'd want to go? Just because I'd be curious what it's like. But I don't think the access is going to be good. Like I've heard that it's going to be 12 feet away from everyone. Like you're not going to be in a locker room. You're not going to be close to any players. You might just be in a room where they do the press conferences, but we can ask questions on Zoom just the same as the people in the bubble. I think, you know, let's say if I was 23 years old and I had no family, no nothing that was, you know, I had no kids, I wasn't married, I was just like young and vibrant and whatever it was, I would want to go just for the... Well, it was.
Ramona, you're still vibrant. Home. Come on. You're still vibrant.
You know, you heard me before the nap. I was not vibrant. Okay. No. I'm not so vibrant this morning. I just think I have too many issues that complicate things that would make it really hard. I think I would want to go just to see what it's like, right? It's
going
to
be a heck of an experience. But once you're there, you see it, right? No. You could do that in a week. You don't need to be there for
you can do that in
a week. The gist of it.
So I don't think you're allowed to go for a week.
No, you have to stay. It's the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. And so Andy and I on the late night happy hour have been playing with this idea, because we are not going to be invited. Nobody is sending us to that tournament. Like, no.
And
like,
it also you have to go, very expensive, by the way.
Right. Completely. You have to go through so many layers of media before anybody be like, okay, fine, the Kamenetsky brothers can go. So what we want to have happen is sort of like the All-Star team now, where they get picked. So you put like Howard Beck at center court and Jackie Mack at center court, and they choose like six players, like six media people on each side. And those are the people that get to go or get the invitation to go. Now, you already said that you don't want to be inside the bubble. But let me ask you this. Do you want to be asked to be inside the bubble or picked to be inside the bubble? Because you know there are going to be people who get ticked off if they're not going to be asked. Like, do you, will you take it personally if you don't get invited?
Yeah, I think I would. But I also think this is one of, do you want me to have like a big conversation about this or a little conversation about this?
I don't think we have time for the big one.
We'll do it next. I got a big rant that I can go on about that.
And Kendrick Perkins in 40 minutes, 4:30 Perk is going to join us. He has opinions on everything, including this whole friends and family question that we were talking about earlier. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.